Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, and I'm recording on Thursday, the 13th of March, at 8:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, what an interesting day here. I know I perhaps say that most of the time, but this is indeed an extremely interesting day. Now, let's start with stock markets, and I'll start, as I do, first with Asia-Pacific, because that's the way the trading day proceeds. The Asian markets, well, mixed here overall. Japan down just a tiny fraction is inconsequential, but as I speak, the Japanese yen is strong against the dollar, so that means the yen has fallen back to 101.67 as I speak against the greenback. Now, people have been talking about it going up to 110 and 120, and I think that's right, but not in the short term, obviously. And this is a disappointment here, and it will add to Japan's short-term concerns. The biggest of those concerns would be energy prices, where there's a delicate issue they've been talking about in the last two audios, so I just mentioned it very briefly. Business and the government, most of business and the government, want to restart a number of the nuclear power stations. I certainly think they should. Should do that, provided they've taken sufficient safety precautions and have protection mechanisms in place that are really up to date. But it's 69% in the polls against, public opinion polls. So that's a little bit of a tricky issue. And then we have the uncertainty over how Japan will respond to, I believe it's that consumption tax, which is coming in quite soon, at a time when the economy has not been all that great. So, you know, we're going to see ranging and a little bit lower in here, I think, overall. China, which has been certainly really center stage for much of the time, although it got pushed aside here a little bit by the Russian-Ukraine situation. But China had not a bad day, up over 1% here. But again, there's so much uncertainty about this, and China's economy is clearly weaker than the figures that are being pointed out by the or cited by the government. And that, of course, is open door for everybody. When they see the bad news coming out and the uncertainty, then people vie with each other to be more bearish. Well, I'm not going to join in that game overall, but China is still a bit of an enigma. Best case scenario will, over the medium to longer term, I think it'll do really very well. But that's just a given. But in the short term, the short to relatively near medium term, next few months, in other words, we know that China has been cracking down on the shadow banking system and has been concerned with all these non-performing loans and is really trying to sort that mess out. That's good for the long term. In the short term, it creates more uncertainty. Now, will they combine that, which is effectively a tightening policy, and a deflationary policy, will they combine that with a central government stimulus package? That may seem contradictory, but it's a way of the central government wresting a little bit more control away from the shadow banking sectors. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here in these audios, as I sometimes do with you here. But I don't share the extreme bearish views, partly because the valuations are so good. China has got a lot of cash, a mountain of money they're sitting on. It's a very industrious economy overall, but they certainly do have problems. Their wages have gone up, which they wanted, but also that means that they're not quite so competitive, and so the whole world isn't beating a path to manufacture in China. And that's a long-term secular trend that will continue because first wages have evened out a little bit over the last 10 to 15 years. In other words, we don't have developed country wages vastly higher than wages in China, although they're still significantly higher in terms of the leading developed economies. But we also have the increased mechanization, which means that it costs less to manufacture in the United States. So basically, I think the USA's competitive position, as I've been saying all along, has just been improving in here relative to some of these developing economies. But the developing economies, again, the valuations are attractive, and they're certainly lower than Wall Street's, and they are, well, it's that the Asian, these Asian countries, that's a very productive region here overall. But it will remain under a bit of a cloud here until China's market snaps into some sort of positive action, and that could happen hopefully in the not too distant future. But there's no guarantee given all the uncertainties that we actually see there. India. India was down about a third of a percent today, described by that article I posted yesterday as the last brick standing. It's certainly the most interesting situation, and I've said plenty about that, so you'll be well aware of it. It's consolidating gains in here. There may be a little bit of uncertainty prior to the election. I'm far removed from India and India's politics, but my feeling, just as I consider the sentiment overall, is that Narendra Modi is going to do very, very well. And if that is the case, then you know India is going to be it's already a top performer in here this year, and it will remain a top performer. Okay. European stock markets. I don't want this audio to be too long, and it is stretching out here. European stock markets down, mostly over 1% here today. So certainly running into resistance up near the highs. And the obvious concern here is the Russian-Ukraine-Crimea situation overall, because we've only got one more trading day this week, and then we get the this Ukrainian referendum or vote, the Crimean one that the Russians are actually holding. This is certainly not in keeping with international laws of governance, so everybody's protesting but not doing much about it. I think the Russians will push this through. It may be a little bit rough. They will certainly be intimidating some of the non-Russian people in the area who may not want to vote anyway. So we're going to get a substantial majority, even without cooking the books, and they'd cook the books if they needed to in terms of the vote. We're going to get a substantial majority favoring that Crimea pulls out of the Ukraine and it joins Russia. Now, that's going to be widely castigated overall, and Putin is paying a price for this. The best that we see in terms of that is the market reaction, because the Russian stock market is hit another new low in here today, and the ruble really remains soft. And there's the more alarming situation, which you've probably heard about and has been going on for at least a week, over a week. There's this massive buildup of trucks and tanks and so on along the whole eastern border between Russia and Ukraine. Now, on that eastern border, you also have a fairly high percentage of Russian residents there. These people were a lot of these people were planted in there just in anticipation of this eventual eventual situation. But I assume that Putin would not be content with just Crimea, and that it would not be too long unless the market forces, financial costs of this are proving to be extreme, before he annexes that eastern portion of Ukraine as well. So this is a nasty situation here. Plenty of uncertainty, scope for certainly some violence. I think the Ukrainians are not just going to sit idly by while this takes place, although there's no, they can't even begin to match, can't get close to matching Russia's force. But the uncertainty, the bad news, even again, if we have sanctions here, sanctions don't help your economy, your own economy. So this is the negative factor here that I think has really clipped markets in here today. I think it's more important in the short term than China. Although as the world's second biggest economy, China is more important in the medium to longer term. But we'll give you Wall Street's figures, down well over 1%, about one and a, just under 1.5% for the NASDAQ. The S&P did slightly better, 1.17% down, and the Dow down 1.4%. 4%, a little off the lows on the day, but these are clear downward dynamics on the charts, and basically we see a loss of upside momentum from overextended positions and overbought conditions and gradual rollover process. I described it as looking tired yesterday, and this action is certainly in line with that. Now, it will also be very vulnerable, I think, tomorrow, because I don't see any breakout of peace occurring between Putin and the Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine. So I think tomorrow could well be trouble. I was surprised that Russia, I beg your pardon, I was surprised that Wall Street was as steady as it was this morning. Because we had indices testing the highs, at least the S&P and the NASDAQ were very close to their actual highs, but that quickly disappeared after the market had opened, and say it was a big sell-off in here today, and I expect more. So I'd be careful here in the short term. I'm not looking for an absolute disaster in here by any means, but I expect at least, as I said yesterday, the minimum expectation would be that we get the long awaited and missing 10% correction overall. And I think there's a fair amount of complacency on Wall Street. It's done so well for so long that people virtually take it for granted. Well, you know, what upsets the apple cart when you just get a new situation like this China, this Russia-Ukraine problem, and also the China problems that I was mentioning earlier on, and it's as good as done. So look for a further sell-off here. Now, government bonds, they're going to take their cue from the stock market, and the U.S. 10-year bond fell sharply here today. That yield, that is, yields dropped down to 2.6472. Now, if you look at the chart, you may remember also that it had pushed back above last month's highs. It got just above 2.8% just over a week ago, but couldn't hold it. And it's fallen back here sharply today. And we are going to see, I think, that we could quite easily see that 250, 245 area tested in here as well. Certainly if the stock market does what I expect it to do in the short term, which is weaken. Elsewhere, what have we got going on? Well, gold has continued to push higher. In here, currently trading at 1372, that's the bullion price, up five and a quarter dollars. That's outperforming silver here, and silver's actually down on the day, down 15 since 2120 had been up at 2148. Now, I think this is a consolidation pattern, as you know, and I bought a little more silver yesterday, and I regard silver as high beta gold. But it's getting a late start in here. But if gold goes up, I think it's a virtual guarantee that gold continues to push higher from here, and the chart pattern can certainly support that. Then I think it's a near certainty that silver will suddenly pop on the upside very sharply. Meanwhile, palladium quietly steady. And so is platinum in here. U.S. dollar is generally soft. That will suit the Fed because the economy is not all that strong in the U.S. I mean, put it this way, a lot of countries say, well, the U.S., it's a good recovery. You get a fair amount of cheerleading if you look at the talk shows for the economy. But it's doing about what you'd expect. You know, this is 5 years. Since the bottoming out of that credit crisis recession in the USA. And, you know, what Reinhardt and Rogoff and other academic historian economists have said for a long, long time, it takes a minimum of 5 to 7 years before you get back to anything like normal GDP growth. And it can take 10 years in some adverse circumstances. Now, that's not a disaster. That's the historic precedent. And that's where we are today. So 5 years, the economy's not doing that badly overall, but, you know, it's not racing away, and that's probably a good thing as well. The sweet spot for investors, as far as the U.S. economy is concerned, is having slow growth, but the trend is mostly in the right direction, and with shares doing, corporations doing better than the economy of their native country. And we see a bit of that, but the profits growth has slowed generally, and that's almost on a worldwide basis here. So, you know, we've still got a slow growth economy, but there's a big monetary tailwind, and that's a hugely important factor, and we should never lose sight of that. And that's why I'm not looking for bear markets on Wall Street or the UK or in Europe here. The risk in that statement, though, is that if something goes badly wrong over the Russia-Ukraine situation that drags in everybody else, meaning Europe and the USA. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, at least not in a big way. But, you know, when you start unleashing troops and killing people and violating international norms, then these things can temporarily move out of control. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But it's a nervous time, and that'll be reflected by the markets overall. I expect the precious metals to go a little bit higher. Last point in here. Is the and the stock markets go a little lower, but the last point, just take these agricultural commodities, mostly quite steady in here still. Now, of course, Ukraine, they produce a lot of wheat, and situation could well cause some problems there. I'm very interested in what actually happens with the U.S. Crops, the grains, wheat, corn. And I'd welcome some feedback, actually, from any subscribers who live near that region, because is it still freezing cold, or have you seen the onset of spring? Has all the snow melted and the ice gone away? I know you've had a tough winter overall, and if that drags on, then that delays plantings, and that can cause some risks. There isn't going to be any moisture shortage, that's for sure. In Europe, it was so waterlogged, as you know, but it's been hot and dry. We've got up to 70s, up to 70 on Monday, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And in London and other parts of the southern UK, and it's certainly been well in the mid-60s here subsequently. Lots of sunshine. So lovely spring weather, and that'll be drying out that land fairly rapidly. So again, we may get a successful crop season in Europe, whereas that was looking to be a risk a little earlier on. But as you know, with agriculture, it's this. There are a number of risky stages along the way, but let's hope we don't get any major crop disasters in either the North American, or the European region, or anywhere else where there's major agricultural activity. But the early signs are that there is going to be damage, and that has pushed prices higher, as you know. And on that note, apologies for running over, but interesting day and lots of points to cover. All the best to all of you.